I mean, we're going to be slim tonight. It's spring break everywhere, and I know a lot of our people are going out of town for spring break. So we'll just go in and we'll hit it and wing it with what we got and who's here. I'm glad you're here. It's good to be in the house. Trust everyone had a good Easter. I thoroughly enjoyed ours. Very good at home and here at Victory. So it's just a good time in the Lord. Let's go ahead and we'll get started and dive into the Word tonight. You go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John 15. John 15. Just a couple of announcements, and I don't have my sheets, so my dates are probably going to be bad. Brother Jody Brazelton is coming 22nd of this month, so he's going to be with us on Sunday morning. Just to encourage everybody. He's the guy that came to the men's meeting. Y'all remember Jody? So, yeah, he was good, wasn't he? Yeah, just a good worship leader and really going to be a good time in the Lord. So he's coming back, so maybe you guys can talk to you. To you guys and say, hey man, let's go to Victory on that morning. Y'all will enjoy him. So he'll be here the 22nd, so we're looking forward to that. Got a lot of other things coming up pretty quick. VBS in June and different stuff like that. So I'll be getting with everybody, letting y'all know the dates on all of that stuff and everything. So Lisa, I thought you were in Florida. You back already? You did awesome, man. I feel like just pumped me up. So that's coming up, so everybody remember all these things, and we'll be plugging you up with emails, text, and all that. Before we get going tonight, let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Randy, you want to lead us? Last Wednesday and Sunday, we were been talking about kind of the in Him dimension as Jesus is coming in and He is getting ready for Easter and the cross and the crucifixion, the resurrection. He's about to be leaving the disciples, and you know, we talked about Sunday. With the disciples, how this was a time of having a hard time grasping this and having a hard time accepting this. You know, Jesus has been with them for 3.5 years. You can imagine walking with Jesus for 3.5 years and you're like, man, this is awesome. And Jesus said, hey, I'm about to leave, but when I leave, it's going to get better. And in our minds, we're sitting here saying, how can it be better than this? You know, because in my mind, you taking that away, that's a big negative in my natural mind. But he's telling me, he says, I've got the promise of the Father that He's going to be released into you. So it's expedient that I go away. It's better for you that I go away. And it's the Holy Spirit. And He said He's going to come and He's going to dwell within you. I love one of the translations said that another Savior is coming. And I like that. And that's not being detrimental to Jesus. Jesus came and Jesus saved us from the penalty of sin. But the Holy Spirit came and He saves us from the power of sin. You know, we come in I don't know about you guys, but I need that constant experiential infilling and stirring and moving of the Holy Spirit in my life. You know, I'm positionally, I'm there, but experientially, man, I still stumble and I still, you know, kick the can down the road some, so to speak. And so, you know, it's not a knock when we come in. I think a lot of churches, and I grew up in mainline denomination to where the Holy Spirit was God Jr. I don't know if you guys did, but I grew up, the Holy Spirit was God Jr. And the Holy Spirit is the manifest presence of Father God, of Jesus. And, you know, Jesus said, I send my Spirit to you. And so it's not that this is a takeaway from Christ and being negative on anything that He has done for us or that is happening in our lives right now, but it's just another aspect of the Holy Spirit. I mean, of the Trinity, that's been the person of the Holy Spirit. And so He's coming in, and we were talking about this in Him dimension. I really challenged last week the doctrine and the mindset that we have of, that I'm going to endure and I'm going to hang on and I'm going to just, survive and I'm going to make it. But heaven's my, man, that's my goal. Heaven's my end game. And my end game is relationship with God. And it worries me because here's what we do is we let heaven being our end game be a cop-out for us in this current life. Because we come in and we say that we live in a corrupt world. We live in a world that's tarnished by sin. We live in a world that's got all of these issues. And that's not hard to see, guys. I mean, you look on any news outlet. You look on any media, social media that's going on. And we live in a jacked up world. No doubt about that. But how exciting that God can entrust us in this darkest hour to bring light into this world. So that should really pump you up. It's kind of like if you're a gamer in a ball game, you won't end during clutch time. You don't mind sitting resting for 3 minutes in the third quarter if you're playing basketball. But I guarantee you the national championship the other night, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty in the fourth quarter, your horses are on the court. And so we should be excited, encouraged that God is entrusted us to release light in a dark world. And the world's always been dark. I mean, there's always been these moments and these pockets. And you could say the same thing during the Second World War and everything that was going on then with the Holocaust and Hitler and all of that. Sunday night, Lori and I went up to Cartersville and we watched the movie on the Apostle Paul. And have y'all seen it? It was really, really challenging to me. If you hadn't seen it, I highly recommend go and see it. It's in some theaters, really good. I walked out of there, and I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I told Lori, when we walked out of the theater, I was like, man, I ain't done crap in my spiritual life. And I've been in ministry for 30 years, constant for 30 years. But I was so challenged by not only the Apostle Paul, but by Luke and how he committed his life into furthering the gospel. And, we were talking about Sunday when it's sometimes hard for us to leave our past to launch into our present and launch into our future. And a lot of times people say, well, it's so hard because of all my failures. When it's really hard to let go of your past is when you've had success in your past and your past is good. Because you'll hold on to it. And this is what I want to challenge the church with. Because I want to tell you something, guys. We sit in good places. We have sat in good places. When I was pastor in mainline denomination, it was good. People were getting saved. We were baptizing people. Man, I mean, it was, we were vibrant with the youth and just all kind of great things and all of that stuff. And it would have been easy to say, this is good. Why do we want to press in for more? And it's not an insult to what's good when you want better. My marriage is good. I've been married. I'm celebrating 35 years this year. So, whoop, whoop, that's awesome. 35 years is tremendous. I don't want to say it's an accomplishment because that makes it sound like it's been a struggle to get there. But it would be an insult to my relationship with my wife right now if the high water mark in my marriage was my honeymoon. We're to go from glory to glory to glory. That's what the Word says. And the challenge for us as Christians is to allow God to take us from good to better. I always say, I've heard Bill Johnson say this for years, that good is the worst enemy of best. Good is the worst enemy of best. And we settle for good and we get satisfied for good. And the apostles were like this, man, because they had Jesus. I mean, they're hanging out with Jesus. They're sleeping with Jesus. You're laying in the campfire and you're laying right next to God. That's pretty stinking awesome. And he comes in and he's like, yeah, I'm, indifferent verbiage and all this, but he says, I'm going to the cross and it's important that I go to the cross and I'm going to be the Passover lamb and all this. And Peter was like, I ain't going to let that happen. I ain't going to let nobody come take you and kill you and all of that stuff. No, 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 no. And Jesus just flat out rebukes him. But I get what Peter was, where he was coming from, because Peter was trying to say, Lord, number one, I'm going to protect you. And he's also saying, Lord, how can it be better than this? This is heaven on earth. And I thought that when I held my babies, my two daughters, when I held them. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. I don't ever want them to grow up. And now I look at them as mature women with children of their own and how they interact with mothers. And I'm going to tell you something. It's way better. You know, I know Eden or KK's teething right now, so you're kind of like, I can't wait for her to grow up a little bit. But we get in these places to where things are good and we're experiencing God on these awesome levels. And the whole time God says, let's go deeper. Let's go for more. Let's have a deeper expression. I want our worship to be a deeper expression. I listen to some of our old school worship stuff now, and I'm kind of like, man, that was good, and it used to rock my world back in 1985. But I look at it some. I remember going to Carmen concerts, and y'all as old as I am, I remember going to see Carmen concerts, and you know, and some of these guys, and you know, just been so moved, you know. And now if I hear a DC Talk song or something like that, I'm like, ooh, that's kind of, you know, it just feels cheesy. I mean, it does. I'm sorry. No, you know, no offense to those guys. You know, yeah, I just can't do Jesus Freak right now. You know, it just kind of like, you know, sorry, you know, Michael Tate and all you guys and everything. But what I'm saying is God wants to carry us to deeper expressions. He wants to carry us to deeper expressions in our worship. And even some of the worship stuff that I was in 5 years ago, as good as it was, now I want to go into deeper expressions. You know, as I go to some of these, you know, worship conferences and things like that, the deeper expressions that we get into, the prophetic worship and stuff like that. You know, we were out there last year and we started, you know, Stephanie Gretzinger was leading us and we started, she started prophetically leading us and singing over Los Angeles. And we were just, you know, and this was unscripted worship. But it was a deeper expression because we were declaring something over what the world says is a very wicked city. But as we begin to declare it, we begin to release light over darkness. And I follow a lot of these guys that are out there now that I really like, you know. And God's really turned my heart. I like Irwin McManus. He's just a big fan of Irwin McManus. He's in L.A. You know, and he had all these people that supported him when he was, and he said God put on his heart, said that we're supposed to go and move to L.A. And he said, I didn't have anything out there. I didn't have any supporters or anything like that. I just had me and my wife had a word from the Lord to go. And he had these billionaires that were supporting his ministry and all that. This is his testimony. I heard him just mention it again the other day. And he said, I had these billionaires that were supporting us, and they said, we believe in what you're doing, and we'll fund what you're doing, but we want you to live in Dallas. I don't know why that was their thing, but we want you to live in Dallas. He said, I knew God was calling me to L.A. So he said, I remember the conversation. I sit down and I looked at these men, and he said, I want to release y'all from any financial obligation, feeling like y'all have to support me, but I'm going to downtown L.A. And that's my heart. And what it was a deeper yes. It was a deeper yes. It was a deeper expression. And it was saying, you know what, I'm not going to stay just in this, but I believe there's more. And so that's what I want to challenge us as a church and as the body and as you guys moving forward in y'all's life, that we keep pressing in for deeper intimacy, deeper relationship. We keep pressing in for, you know, for the fruitfulness, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. And saying, you know, how big of a life can I live and how big of an impact can I have? What kind of a mark can I make on culture? And that's huge for me because I know a lot of people and I believe they love the Lord, but they're very satisfied just being in their relationship with God. And I always go back to this thing. I say, yeah, but who are you impacting? And if you're not leaving a large brushstroke, then we really need to check our lives. Because me and Jesus can hang out and have a good old time, and me and my wife can remove ourselves from society. And we can stop, you know, hosting and doing those things. And that was a big thing that the Lord spoke to me this year is that we are to host well. I think the Greek word for that is I'm gonna butcher it. So it's philoxenia, I think is it, and it means to host with the honor that the guest that you are hosting deserve. And I found that to carry over in every area of my life. And that doesn't mean just who I'm hosting in my home, although we try to do that. That's who I'm hosting in this house. That's who I'm hosting in our business and all of that stuff. You know, if it's a visitor, if it's an acquaintance or something like that, I want to host them with a high level of honor. And everything. We had a guy from Jacksonville that does inner fairings on Harleys, and he was up today from the fairing exchange, you know, and we kind of met him through the rallies and befriended him and kind of worked back and forth with each other some, and he was up, and there were guys coming in, and he was doing a couple of them in our shop today, and one of them was late, and he said, "Man, I've got this appointment with this guy, and I'm gonna be," I said, no, stay in our place and do it here. I don't want you changing a fairing out on a Harley out in some hotel parking lot when we've got this facility. You know, and then, of course, Brett and Red even trumped that and says, "Well, man, we're going to take you out to dinner tonight," and everything. And that's where they are. They're out hosting this guy and taking him out to dinner, the owner of this other company. And this is not a business thing. This is simply a camaraderie and we want to show you honor in your lives and all that stuff. And as we do this, you know, and I was talking with him later on, the boys were, he said, "Man, you got some impressive son-in-laws." And that wasn't because they were going to take him to dinner tonight. He said, "You've got," and what they're doing is that they host things well. They host things well. And so I want us to, as God comes in and ups the ante in our life, then I want us to come in and help facilitate and match that. Okay? Because tonight we're going to be talking about bearing fruit and producing fruit and how fruitful are we. And one of the things that I want you to really get in understanding about bearing fruit and being productive in our lives, I'm real big on being productive. I'm huge on that. I grew up on that almost to a fault. I have a hard time learning how to relax. You know, I'll be honest with you, because I wear a lot of hats. We've got our business. We've got the farm. We've got church life. And so it's like nonstop 24/7. We've got to be productive on everything we do. You know, even mindset, "Well, I got to go to bed at 11:30 because I got to have productive 6 hours sleep so I can be productive when I get up at," you know, and you know, it's almost a little bit overload. But I'd rather be that than I had be slothful. And as you look at God and the way He created things, everything He created it to be productive. I'm gonna reiterate that. Everything, every living thing God created, He created it with the purpose of being productive. If you are not being productive, you're missing God. I will emphatically make that statement. If you are not being productive, you are missing God. He tells us very clearly in the Word, and we're about to get in this, as He's talking about the vine and the branches. He said, three things are going to happen. If you are in Him and you're not bearing fruit, then He's going to prop you up and lift you up and undergird you so that you can produce fruit. All right? I don't like the King James translation on this. We'll get to it in just a second. If you are bearing fruit, then that gives Him permission to cut on you. So, Michelle, your reward for bearing fruit, God's going to cut on you. That's your reward. Say, "Thank you, Jesus." Right? But He cuts on you so you'll produce more fruit. That's why He cuts on you. I don't like it in the flesh when God cuts on me, but I love it when God cuts on me. Because He is what... You know what I do with my cattle that don't produce? I'll give them one extra year, but then I ship them off. If they don't produce, I'll ship them off. You know, sorry, but you're going down the road. And God has this mindset. Oh, and the third thing is, if the vine is not in Him, it's naturally not going to produce fruit. So the vine that doesn't produce, that's not in Him, it gets taken away and cast off and burned. All right? Totally separated. So God's all about stuff producing. You look at the parables that He speaks on things producing, and He talks about 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. He comes in and He talks about the talents. As at Matthew 25, I think verse 14 is where that is, where He starts talking about the talents. And He comes in, and His mindset on the talents, Randy, is that everything that He's pleased with is producing 100%. That's the profit margins, 100%. That's what He's shooting for. So you come in and you say, "Man, I'm just holding my own." If you're holding your own, God considers you wicked and slothful. Study Matthew 25. I'm sorry if that's cutting on you, then say yay, right? But if you're simply maintaining and holding your own, God's not pleased with that. Don't think I'm going to tread water and we're going to do this thing, all right? We were at Monday night. We did Easter at my mom's house because everybody was crazy schedules, and we tried to be real flexible and all that stuff. And she's got this gym set in her backyard, and it's got the little monkey bars that you grab and you go across. cross. You know, it's like a ladder. Y'all know what I'm talking about on that? Well, the grandkids, they were doing that, you know, and we've got, you know, 7 and 6 and 4 and or 5 and 4 or 3, whatever. Oh, my grand, I don't know the age on all of them. Sydney Hannah, you know, she's hanging upside down because she's a little gymnast and all that. But the younger ones, Caroline would come in, and Caroline can go all the way across. But you know what she would do is she would go out and she would get about 3 rungs on this, on the monkey bars, and then she would stop and just hang there. And you know what we would say was, Caroline, keep going. In the time that you hang there, you could go all the way across it. And she did that some. But sometimes she'd get out there 3 or 4 rungs and then just hang there. And then after a while, guess what she did? She got tired. And so she eventually had to drop. And that's what we do in our life. And we say, I'm so tired. It's because you're just hanging there. You're treading water. You're not moving forward. You're not really being productive. But you're saying, man, I'm just still in the game. I'm still in the game. But you're paralyzed or you're satisfied. And so I want us to have the mindset that as long as I am moving forward and making progress across this thing, That I can exert the same amount of energy moving forward as I can just hanging without making progress. And so I find it very interesting, and I'm about to read Scripture, I promise. I find it very interesting that in the middle of Jesus about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, He was speaking this on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, that He has come in, they had the Last Supper, He washed His disciples' feet. He gave them the revelation that one of you guys is going to betray me. And then He comes in and He starts talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit and how powerful and how exciting and how encouraging that is. And then we're about to go into this most intense spiritual warfare time that Jesus faced His entire earthly ministry. I believe that our victory was won, not necessarily on the Calvary's cross, but I believe our victory was won in the Garden of Gethsemane, because in the Garden of Gethsemane is when Jesus said yes. That's when He had the choice of saying yes or no. I believe once He said yes in the Garden of Gethsemane, then it was game on. We're going to do the cross. And I'm committed to this thing. But I believe it. And so He was about to go into this most intense time in the Garden of Gethsemane. And on the way, He starts talking to the disciples about two things. Abiding in Him so you can be productive. And He's just talking about, previously, the Holy Spirit in you, dwelling in you, and you and Father God. And the only way that you can dwell in Father God is by the Holy Spirit. This whole thing, this beautiful circle. And the only way I can dwell in Father God, if the Holy Spirit's dwelling in me, and the only way I can be in Christ, if Christ is in me, and the way He's in me is through His Spirit, that He's what He calls the Holy Spirit. So we've got all this going on. But Jesus, in this very crucial time, He's got about one more day that He's going to spend with us. Not even one more day. He's got a matter of hours that He's going to spend with the disciples. And He comes in and He starts talking to them about being productive. So I think it's a pretty big deal with God. He starts talking about bearing fruit. Now, we can look at some different things in the productivity about this. We can consider Galatians 5 and Galatians 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the attributes of the nature of God. You know, the peace and the hope and the love and temperance and meekness and all of these attributes, these fruits of the Spirit. He says these are the fruits of the Spirit. And that is the heart behind it. That is the motive behind it. That's the thing behind it. That's what caused you to go pick up 4 or 5 kids tonight in the church van and bring them to church because they didn't have a way, and you wanted them to be here. And that wasn't so, Errol, it's got a gold star because I went and picked up kids. It's because you've got those fruits of the Spirit, the attributes of Christ working in you that has a heart for those kids, that they would come in and know and experience God. And so that is the Galatians 5 aspect that we're talking about. But I also want us to consider the natural aspect too. Because I think it was important to Jesus. How are we impacting society? How are we impacting culture? How are we making a difference out there? And that can come across in some really practical ways that we're going to talk about. So let's just dive in and let's see what the Lord has for us tonight. We're in John chapter 15. I'm going to be reading out of the King James, but I may kick over and just give you a couple things out of the Passion Translation. I really like to read the Passion Translation. Typically, I do my big studying out of the King James. He says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus. He's speaking on the way that's historically interpreted that he was actually on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane when he was speaking this with the disciples. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser. Now, Jesus was coming and giving this illustration of a vineyard. And you think about a vineyard out here, and you have got the vine, the rootstock coming out of the ground. And if you've ever looked at a vineyard or muscadine vines or anything like that, my mom's got muscadines and scuppernines in her backyard and got them on a trellis system and all that. Well, she comes in the winter months, and she will prune them back. And they're not much to look at in the winter months because they do get cut on, okay? You know, sometimes you think, man, I am getting bloody and butchered, Michelle, and I'll keep throwing them back here on you. But that is a good thing because you know what's going to happen with these, in her case, muscadine and scuppernines this summer? They're going to run out all of these beautiful, beautiful, new offshoots that are going to come out. And they're going to be, to start with, they're going to be fragile, they're going to be tender, but by the end of the summer, they're going to have these big, beautiful grapes hanging from them. And so that's the process that we're looking at with this, with Christ. And he's coming in, and he says, I'm the vine, my Father's the husbandman. And so he said, let's read verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And I'll be honest with you guys, I don't like that King James translation. Because that gives the connotation that that he's going to separate you from him. That he's removing you, that he's cutting. One translation I read actually said that he'll cut you off. But the word tells me that as long as I am abiding in him, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I love, and I studied the Greek on this. And I think a more true definition or interpretation of this is I'm going to read it right here. He said, Yes, here we go. He says, he cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and then pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting up and propping up the fruitless branches. Now, a branch that's laying on the ground doesn't produce as well. I don't care what kind of plant it is. You're going to pick it up. Why do you, any of you guys grow tomatoes? Why do you put cages around them? So they're up. They'll grow if you just leave them on the ground, but if you leave them on the ground, you're going to get rot. And every time it rains, you're going to get dirt all over everything. It's going to inhibit good growth. And so you lift them up by putting them in the cages so that they get the sunlight, they get the air, they don't get too much moisture and all of that stuff. And this is the same idea that I believe the real Greek translation in this is. The key to this is abiding in Him. If you're struggling, stay connected with God. And He'll lift you up. If you're weary, stay connected with God. He'll lift you up so you can be productive. He'll lift you up so you can produce fruit. He'll lift you up so you can get strong. He'll lift you up so you can be cleansed. He'll lift you up and do these things. And one thing, as you look in the Greek translation, one section obviously says that He will lift you up to Himself. I like that. He'll lift you up to the vine. Instead of letting you just flounder out here and flop out on the ground. We have had pear trees in our yard that get so heavy with fruit. Different thing, but they'll get so heavy with fruit that it'll break branches off of them. And so I remember some years, you know, my dad, he'd go out there and he'd put doggone, notch 2x4s under them to keep them from breaking. They were producing that much fruit. But it was important to get them up off the ground. That was his thing and all. He wanted to protect that. So the key to this in verse 2 right here, is that every branch that is in Him that's not bearing fruit, He's going to nurture you and He's going to pick you up. He is going to take care of you so that you can produce fruit. The thing is staying connected with God. The thing is being the in Him dimension. So that is, I always tell people, man, I'll have people and they'll come up to me and they'll hit a dry season in their life, or they'll hit a time where they're discouraged, or you fill in the blank and all that. And I've seen people in leadership and they'll come up to me and they're like, man, I think I'm just going to step down and all of this stuff. And I just, you know, I'm struggling right now. I'm not in a good place right now. And I always tell them the same thing. I said, brother, you better stay tethered. You better stay tethered to the Lord, and you better stay tethered to the body. You better stay connected to the body, okay? I'm not saying that you have to stay connected with Joe Bob right here, because he may be a Lot and maybe you're supposed to move on. The separation with Abraham Lot was an awesome thing for Abraham, not so much for Lot, but an awesome thing for Abraham. You know, and so these things happen. But my thing is, one thing that I found is, as long as I stay connected with Him and I stay connected with the body, the different members of the body may shift and change, but there will not be a season when I am not connected with like believers. I've had to move on and say bye to some people, but I stay connected to the body. Okay? Because God always brings something, somebody new in my life. God always brings something fresh in my life. God always brings something to help. Because His desire for me is to take me to the next level. And that's not a knock on anybody else or anything like that. But God has this gate that He wants me to run at. And if I'm not running at this gate, then it's a rough ride. You know anything about racking horses? You got to find the gate. And once you find that gate on that racking horse, it is smooth. You could set a cup of tea on their back. It's so smooth. But if you ever get out of the gate, and when we hit our sweet spot, I'll call it our sweet spot, God wants us to get in that gate. And there are different people that we're going to run with in that gate, but we're going to stay connected. So I just want to encourage you. When you hit that downtime, when you hit that time you're not producing fruit, stay connected to God. Stay connected to the Holy Spirit. Stay connected to the body, to the different people in the body, okay? Stay connected to the Word. That's one of the most important things in my life is besides just obviously studying the Bible, praying, worship, but one of the most important things in my life is staying connected to the Word by different ministers, okay? And it might be a constant, Damon Thompson and Bill Johnson. That's a constant in my life. But there have been seasons when it was Chuck Swindoll. You know? There have been seasons when it's, you know, this guy over here, or this guy over here. It was Mark Rutland, you know, just for years, God just used Mark Rutland just to cut me and stretch me and move on me and all that stuff. I'm listening to a lot of Irwin McManus out of Mosaic right now. But that is something, I stay connected to the Word that is spoken and released through God's men and women, okay? John Bevere and Lisa Bevere, there's so many powerful, powerful people out there, and stay connected in that. You say, brother, I'm struggling. Well, quit listening to Miley Cyrus out there and start listening to, he said, you're clean by the word that I've spoken to you. I don't know why she came to my mind, but not like I'm a fan or anything.
I think one thing too, Aaliyah and I had a friend who was just going through just unbelievably tough time and just struggling being mad at God. And Aaliyah made a statement that I have really dug into lately. And she said, it's okay to be mad at God, but you have to continue to go to God even if you're mad at Him. You know, even if you're struggling, like you're personally struggling, or even if, God, I'm mad at this situation. This is not fair, what has happened to me. It's just flat out, it's not fair. I don't understand why. You fill in the blank, whatever it may be. But God can handle that. All He is asking is that we continue to go to Him in that moment, in that feeling, because eventually, as we go to Him, as we dig deeper, we might not get a concrete answer of why something happened. But He will fill us with that hope and that peace and that joy that if we just shut Him off, that we'll never obtain that. If we say, I'm mad, I'm done. Or I'm hurt, I'm done. Then we'll never be able to obtain those fruits. So no matter what it is, like I said, you fill in the blank, the key thing is just to keep going to Him And sometimes it's okay to be a hot mess when you go to him because he sees that anyways. And he's wanting to, like you said, prop you up so in due time you will begin to produce fruit again. And that's okay. And we have to realize that it is okay. I can't shut off because the more I shut off, the further away I'm going. I may feel like I'm standing still, but in reality I'm getting further and further. So just keep going to him and dig deeper and let him fill you with these things.
We have to make sure that we don't put God on trial, or a lot of people keep God on trial their whole life. You never get to where you come into the place of being settled in the fact that He is a good Father and He loves me. And that transcends circumstances. Because what we'll do when we come in, if you come in and when circumstances get tough, you get mad at God. And when you don't understand things, you get frustrated, you want to quit, you want to do, and I understand emotions. I'm not saying, because there are some circumstances that are doggone, this is hard. But if God is constantly in the scales of is He good or is He bad, you've got Him on trial. You've been my daughter for your whole life. 25 years. Seven. See, I'm trying to help you out there. 27. Yeah, it is right, because Leah just turned 30. You've been my daughter for 27 years. There were times when you did not agree maybe with my rules or curfews. You thought, man, that's kind of ridiculous. You know, I'm 18 and I've got 11:30 curfew or whatever, you know. My disciplines. I know you didn't like it when I used to spank, okay, and it was not abuse. I'd tear that hind end up, but it was not child abuse, all right? It was daddy cutting on you instead of Father God cutting on you, all right? Because I wanted you to produce much fruit. Same principle, all right? I'll agree to disagree with Danny Silk and some of these guys. But anyway, I'm regressing here. Let me get back on point. But I do not feel like that there has been a point in your life where I was on trial as a father concerning my goodness to you. There have been times when you said, maybe I don't understand this, maybe I don't like this, but I think one constant that my girls have always had is that my Father loves me beyond measure, and that He has my best intentions at heart, and He would do anything for me. And I think both girls, you could say there's never been a point in their life where that was in question. And we've got to get to that place with Father God. Because this vine dresser and this whole deal, because it carries the full gamut of all of this. Because He's going to come in and He's going to say, you're not producing fruit, so let me lift you up so you can produce more fruit. Not necessarily cutting. Now, we come in and it might be a thing of you're not producing fruit. His interpretation, not producing fruits, I'm getting a 20% return on investment out of you, and I'm really looking for 100%. Now, He's going to do what He can, and we sit here and we say, man, I'm doing great just by treading water. I get tired of a lukewarm church, and I'm not talking about Victory Fellowship. I'm talking about a church, Kingdom Church. I get tired of a lukewarm church that feels like we're conquering the world just because we're treading water. Just because I'm not regressing in my faith. I still go to church on Sunday. That ought to count for something, brother. Really? You know, I still give to causes. Don't believe in tithing, but I'll give to some causes. And God said, that's something I'm not, as long as you're in me, but my goal, my end game is for you to be very, very productive, produce fruit. This whole illustration. Look at the timing of when He's speaking this. And so it's absolutely crucial for us to stay in Him. If it's not bearing fruit, I'm going to lift it up. I'm going to bring it to me so that it can produce fruit. Every branch that beareth fruit, I'm going to purge it, that it may bring forth more fruit. From my mindset, and I know I've been in manufacturing for 35 years, but from my mindset, I absolutely love that. He's like, man, we're going to do some Six Sigma on you. If you've been in the manufacturing world, we're going to come in and we're going to see what we can do and how we can make things better and more efficient and how we're going to make things more productive and how we're going to produce more fruit and how we're going to change culture. And it's awesome for you to do this, but how can we expand this? What is your realm of influence? You know, you say, well, I'm ministering to my family right now. And that is your number one ministry. That's one trap that's easy for us to get into. If you've got young kids right now, that's an easy trap for you to fall into. I'll speak this to both my girls and Michelle. I'll speak it to any of you guys that's got the young kids. Heck, I can throw Lisa in that. She's got a little young boy, right? Yeah. Throw you in that. We can fall into the trap where we say that my focus right now is I'm just ministering to my family and all of that stuff. That should be the main focus on this, but it's not the only focus on this. Because we will get caught up in a place of where I'm just doing life and I'm taking care of my two kids or my three kids or my, you know, 2.5 and 1.5 labs and, you know, my Volvo and all of that stuff. And we'll get caught up in the thing of just doing my family. And I'm sorry, but God's going to cut you so you're bigger than that. If you got 3, influence 6. If you got 6, influence 12. That's kingdom math right there. He comes in Matthew 25 that we were talking about that while ago, and the talents he comes in. And look at the story. We don't have time to go there, but look at the story. It said that the master came in and he was going into a far country, so he said he took his stuff and he divided among 3 of his servants as each one's ability deserved. And so he came in and he gave one of them 5, he gave one of them 2, and he gave one of them 1. And he says, I'm going to come back and let's see what you've done with this. And he comes back, and the one that had 5, he gained 5 more. He says, look, Lord, you gave me 5, I've gained 5 more. Basically, he's saying, here. And the one with 2, the same thing happened. And he's like, dude, y'all are well done. That's awesome. 100% return. This is expectation, 100% return. That's awesome. That's great. The one said, I hit it. I treaded water because I knew what kind of man you were. And I did not. I was afraid I was going to regress and lose this thing. Quit feeling like you're going to regress in your faith. That's a big question you guys will have. What if I can't do this when I get out? Don't even let the enemy have that place in your mind, brother. Okay? Because this is a launching pad. All right? This is not the up loop on a cycle. And we come in and we say, what if I can't do this? What if I can't walk this out? I see people frozen and will not get into relationships as far as being a husband or wife. They won't enter into marriage because they're like, I've seen divorce too much and I'm afraid I can't do it. So you know what? Let's just come in here and let's settle and we'll live together. I personally think that's a huge plague on our society right now. Forget the whole fornication thing. I think the lack of commitment and understanding of true covenant is the plague on our society, not the fact that they're having sex. And what we do is we come in and we say, I'm afraid that I can't do this, so therefore I'm not going to go into this next level. And you know what that is? That is just a picture of fear in your life. It'll be the same thing that happens in your spiritual life and everything else. And you won't step into areas of callings. You won't step into areas of giftings. You won't step into areas of responsibility. And I see people all the time. And I remember one time, this has been, golly, 20 years ago probably, I had somebody that came to me and they wanted me to be on a board of directors. And I forgot what it was for. It was for a business or a ministry or something and all of that. And they came and we met and they said, man, we want you to serve on our board of directors and all of this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I can't. I said, I am way too busy. I said, I'm running a business. I'm pastoring a church. I've got a farm. I'm raising a family. I was already on the board of directors with another ministry. And I said, I've got all these things. And I said, I'm just too busy. And you know what he said? He said, you're exactly the kind of person we want. I don't want somebody that doesn't have nothing going on. If you don't have anything going on, you need to check yourself. I love to travel, but my goal in life is not to tour America in a Winnebago. And I love to travel, and I'm not hating on you if you own a Winnebago, but don't let that be your ultimate goal, that I want to work and do all this stuff for 40 years just so I can kick back and do that. Because God wants you to continue to change and affect culture. And it might look like the business world. It might look like a lot of things, guys. I guarantee you some of it will involve church life. I'm convinced of that. But don't, Miss Jackie, don't ever check out. You're a few years older than me. Don't ever check out. You know? I had, and they may listen to this on podcast. I had a young lady that Sunday after church, I was in here talking with a young lady and her husband and her mother and her father, and it was a family, and they were talking after church, and she's been visiting with us for about a month, and, you know, four or five services, and just really digging it and all of that stuff, and just talking about how awesome it's been and everything. And she said something came up about my mama. And she said, "Your mama's my hero." She's a teacher. And she said, "Your mama's the reason I'm a teacher." And she started teaching. My mom taught first grade for 30 years. Had a slew of kids, you know. I mean, you think about how many kids you go through in 30 years. And in 30 years, she was doing first generation and then second generation and all of that stuff. And she was asking me, she said, "How's your mama doing and all of that stuff and everything?" And I'm like, "Well, my mama is going to be 83 this summer, and she still helps me on the farm. And she still helps me do firewood. And she still drives the tractor. And she's still active in the church. And she still goes to the assisted living home and bakes for them and plays bingo with them and shares the gospel with them. And she's doing all this stuff, and she's 83, and I'm expecting her to be around for about another 15 to 20 years because her mama made it to the century mark. And so I'm fully expecting her to, and I'm fully expecting her to be going strong until the Lord takes her home. And I want to live that productive life where I'm changing culture." And he comes in, and he says, "And if you're doing this, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut you." So when he starts cutting, you know that person that you're having to deal with that you don't like dealing with? That's kind of annoying to you and all of that? But they just keep hanging around and you're like, "Come on, dude." That might be God cutting you. We keep kicking and saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." For stuff. That might be God cutting you. Because you look at the fruit of the Spirit, and what were some of the fruits of the Spirit? Temperance. Meekness. God spent about 6 years cutting pride off me and starting this new business. Woo. Humble. And God's like, I'm cutting. I didn't realize I had so much pride, and it took doggone. He spent first five years of it was. I'm like, "God, are we about done with this now?" He said, "We'll see." But cutting, you know, ain't got no money to make. Cutting, got to go up there and talk to him because I bounced a check. Cutting, you know. But it produces fruit. It produces fruit where we can come in and we can minister to people and we can be sympathetic to people. And when we're going through difficult times, then all of a sudden we can relate to somebody else that's going through a difficult time. And our answer is not always, "You just need to get a job, dude." Maybe that person needs an uplifting hand. Maybe they need some compassion. Maybe they need some help. Maybe they don't have understanding because they didn't have a family that you had. You grasp what a good father is, but they've never seen a good father. And so all this is cutting. You know what God's doing in Casey right now down in Honduras? He's cutting on her. And she's finding her identity, but a lot of times you got to... It's one of them before and after pictures. And I'm not talking about a makeover, because the world will give us a makeover. I mean, I've seen girls dog ugly, and you go through a makeover, and they look all right. Just saying. I'm just, you know, we'll just call it like it is, right? Like, I know her. She don't look like that. But you carry down to Spa 316, boy. Woo! It's only temporary. Yes. If we allow it to be. And he comes in and he says, if you're producing fruit, then I'm going to cut on you. But the reason I cut on you is not because I'm mad at you. It's because I love you. It's not because I'm mad at you. It's because I'm excited about the potential. I'm excited about the potential. Because if I can cut this, I know this is going to produce more fruit. And if I can cut this, it's going to produce more fruit. And so he comes in and he's doing all of this. Somebody help me with time. What time is it? What time? 17. Oh, we're great. We got 30 minutes. I'm just kidding. We got 7 minutes. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We come in a lot, guys, and we feel like that there's no way that I can produce fruit because of, then you fill in the blanks. I can't be a speaker. I can't impact because of failures in my life. I can't do this because of scars in my life. I can't do this because this. And we've got this whole myriad of things that we think disqualifies us. But I've always found verse 3 to be real odd in this. Because he's sitting there talking about the vine and the branches and the fruit and all of this stuff and everything. And just right in the middle he comes in and he says, you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. This washing of the word. That it comes in and it washes away your sins. It washes away your failures. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can become white as snow. What did Jesus call himself in the Gospel of John? In the beginning was what? Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. Not a God. Some religions will say the Word was a God. But the Word was God. And he said, you are clean because of the Word. You're clean because of the person, Jesus Christ. You're clean because of Father God. You're clean because of the Holy Spirit. That's why I find this really, really, really strong need and desire. I believe hunger is a choice. People say, I'm not hungry. It's because you choose not to be hungry. You say, well, no. You choose not to be hungry. Y'all know what I do before I know I'm going to go to a really, really good restaurant or have a really good meal and all of that stuff? I tell you what I don't do. I ain't packing in Little Debbie's 30 minutes before supper time. I am making a conscious decision that this good ain't getting full until the good stuff comes. I only eat salad. I personally don't like lettuce. But I think if I had the choice of a salad, which maybe I did like, and a filet or something like that, guess what's going to win, Jeff? The good stuff. So I'm not going to fill myself up on anything that is. I believe that hunger is a choice. And so I think that when we come in and we say, I am in constant need of the daily washing of the Word, so saturate yourself in it, guys. That's how you're going to be productive. Because when you're clean, it's like opening up your arteries. It's like opening up your digestive system. Man, you want a colon cleansing spiritually? Let the Word come get flowing through you. And it'll get all the constipation out. You know, no visual images there. But I'm just saying, it will. Are you talking about a flush? It will clean you out. And that's why I want to encourage you guys, so much encourage you to saturate yourself in the Word. You know, a lot of people, they say, man, I just really struggle with reading the Word and all of that stuff and everything. Listen to the Word. Find some powerful men and women of God and listen to the spoken word, because I want to promise you, they're teaching and preaching Scripture. And that will develop your palate to where you enjoy the word. You got to develop your palate. Got to develop your palate. I got cracked up. I'm pretty sure he won't be listening to this podcast, but we had an engineer come by yesterday from a company we do business with, and we were a new project that we're starting and all of that, and he brought stuff down, and he spent about 4 hours with us and everything, and I wasn't there when this was going on. I was doing something else. I'd got drawn out, and James said, yeah, I don't know that so-and-so goes to church that much. He was talking about, he said, yeah, my girlfriend, man, she made me go to church Sunday, and he said, we went, he said, I didn't know you did a concert before church ever started. He said, we stood up for 30 minutes for a concert before church service got started and all that. He said, I was like, when are we ever going to sit down? And I was like, dang, you sound like some... Never mind. Victory people. But then he was talking about, he's a big hockey fan. He's from Tennessee. He's a big hockey fan. And he was talking about the... So James just got cracked up. But then James was like, hey, man, we're all big church people. You know, we all love the Lord. And we're, you know, we that's the way we do our church, man. We come in and probably not 30 minutes. You're probably 45 minutes an hour and all that stuff of concert. But this guy is a big hockey fan. So you know what he wanted to talk about? The Nashville Predators. What was his palate developed for? Hockey. And I guarantee you that wasn't something that he just... It was something he developed. There was something about that sport that hooked him, that he liked. And what I want to encourage you and challenge you on is position yourself to where God can develop your palate. Because it can go on deeper than the fact that you get around somebody. I love to be around somebody that really knows food. I like to think I know a little, but I know nothing about food other than I like good food. And I try to pick up stuff on the Cooking Channel. That's, you know, like my number one show I like to watch. But if you get somebody that really knows food, they pick up on all the little... Oh, it's got coriander in it, and it's got this in it, and it's got this in it, and it's got this in it. And I'm like, dang, I just thought it tasted good. You look at a wine bottle, and it's got like... You work in a grocery store, David. You know what all this is. Or I mean, you don't. You're like a big dog, but you've spent years in a grocery store. But you look on it, and it's... You know, have that description. I've always been amazed with the winemaking process and all that. And it'll have the description on it, and it'll say, it's got hints of grapefruit and all of this stuff. And I'm like, how in the heck can a bottle of wine have hints of grapefruit in it? I know they ain't squeezing no grapefruit juice in that wine thing and all. But these people that have developed their palate, they can pick up all these notes and hints of chocolate and black cherry and all of that stuff. And I know I'm kind of going on this weird tangent right here. But I want to challenge you and encourage you to develop your palate with God. Because you will be amazed at how far it will take you. Nothing frustrates me more than being with a grown guy and going to... And me and Jeff ate lunch together today, and we ate chicken fingers today. But I'm talking about being with a grown adult and going to a nice restaurant somewhere and they order chicken fingers. I mean, you know, I'm carrying you to Atlanta Fish Market, and you go and order chicken fingers. You know what that tells me? Well, I like chicken fingers. That means you've got an underdeveloped palate. And God cuts us so that not only will we produce more fruit, but He cuts us to help develop our palate. Because I want to hear things. I want to tell you something, guys. I say things around my wife and my grown daughters that I don't say around my grandchildren. Because there's things that little ears can't understand. So they're not involved in the conversation. And if you never develop your palate spiritually, there are things that you will not have permission to hear. There will be things that you will not have permission to see, and there will be things that you will not have permission to taste. And I, brother, I know you called into the ministry. You told me that you're in game. I'm going to be in the ministry and all of that stuff. That means you're in the ministry right now. You know, we all are as being saved and ambassadors of Christ and priests and kings and all of that according to the glorious New Testament. But God is going to, if you allow Him and position yourself, God will cut you in such a way that new skin is more sensitive than the old skin. And I got cracked up at Sydney Hannah, my seven-year-old. She came up to me the other day and she said, Poppy, she said, I got these circles on my hands. She's big in gymnastics. You know what it was? It was calluses. It was calluses. She said, I got these. I said, those are, and I'm sure her mom and daddy's already told her that. She said, I got these calluses on my hand. And I was like, man, that's awesome, Sydney Hannah, and all. But you know what's going to happen is one of the calluses, y'all know if any of you have had them, they'll peel off and underneath it, then all of a sudden you got tender skin. And so God wants to cut on us so that we're exposing tender skin that can feel different. That can feel different. That can hear different. That can see different. And without cutting, we hit a ceiling. Without developing the palate, we hit a ceiling. I love chicken fingers, but if I'm carrying my wife on a good date, guess where we're not going? Zaxby's ain't happening. If I told her, baby, when we first started dating, of course, there wasn't nothing to eat when we first started dating. Pizza Hut was high on the hog. There was only one of them, and you drove to Carrollton to get to it. That's a big date. That and Western Steer or Sizzlin or whatever it was. But if I tried to pull that out of the bag right now, I'd probably get talked ugly to. I'm just trying to say things develop and things grow. Let's be on that journey with God. Sorry we didn't get further into this. Y'all know me, about three verses about all I can handle on that.
Sermon by Stephen Furtick that I have listened to like three different times that has been so good. It's called Dysfunctional Comfort. Well, I may have, but I get something good out of it. And we so often in our mind we think cutting and all that, that's more what the enemy would do and not what God would do, because that is uncomfortable and that hurts and stuff. So in our minds we automatically think, well, that can't be of God. That's got to be the enemy coming against us doing that, because we think of God as being comfort and loving and all that. And Stephen Furtick brings out a good point. He said, Jesus didn't come to be the comforter. That's what He sent the Holy Spirit to do. He said, Jesus came to be the confronter. He comes to confront the things that separate us from Him. So the Holy Spirit has been left to us by Him to comfort us, but He confronts the things that are separating us from all that He has to give us. So don't always look at it that it's the enemy. That has really, really challenged me. That's why I've listened to it 13 times. But that's really challenged me to think, you know, hey, wait a minute. You know, what's the end game on this? That kind of lets me know who this is coming from. You know, sometimes it may be the enemy, but you got to look. Is this God trying to bring me closer to Him? Or is this the enemy trying to pull me further away from Him?
And I think here's the thing that we can tell as a litmus test. And we go back to these verses right here. In verse 2, He said, all the branches that are in me that do not produce fruit, they get lifted up. Okay? And it said, the branches that are not in me, they get cast away. When Jesus is cutting on you, He will never cut on you that separates you from the vine. If this cutting or this painful thing is there to separate you from God, then you know it's not Him. But if it's sitting there cutting the little branches, but it does not affect the core, Because in all this cutting the last 6 years in our life, and I mean, I'm 56, I've been saved for over 30 years now, 32 years now. So I've been getting cut on for 32 years, so it's just not the past 6 years. But in all of this 32 years of being cut on, what it has done, it has solidified and strengthened and settled the core. Two things are going to happen when adversity comes your way or cutting comes your way. It is either going to strengthen your core in God and who you are and your relationship with Him, or it's going to cut it off at the stump. If I'm trying to kill something, you know what I do? I cut it off at the stump. If I'm trying to, I separate it from the root. I separate it from the vine. But if I'm simply trying to prune it back, it's so I know that it will live and be more abundant and vibrant. So I think that's the way we know. I think that's the way we know. The thief comes to kill, steal, destroy. He comes to cut us and separate us from the vine. But as the Father prunes us, it's not to separate us from the vine. It's to simply shave stuff off of us, clip stuff off of us. Let's stand to our feet. We're out of time, guys. Amen. We've got communion down here if you want to take communion tonight. The altar's always open. Just come down and spend some time with the Lord, whether it's in worship or prayer or whatever. One side note I will throw out there on that verse 2. The church is very, very quick that if a branch is not producing fruit, we're the first to throw rocks at it and declare that it be cut off. And a lot of times your job is to lift it up. Your job is to lift it up. Your job is to prop it up. It says that the Father does that. The Father lifts it up. But guess who He uses sometimes? Sometimes He uses David. Sometimes, Tiff, you're the most relevant Jesus that Tiffany will see, is God flowing and moving through you. My children understand the Father's love because of the love of an earthly father. All right? And so sometimes, just as a side note, your job, and you get mad because they're not bearing fruit. We do it with our kids. I'm speaking, hypothetically, that our kids aren't bearing fruit. And so what we want to do is we want to, bash them or crush them or beat them down and not kill them. But, we just want them to I hope you're miserable right now and all that stuff. And what God wants us to do is to lift them up. Yes. Yes. So, amen. Well, let's just go to Father God in prayer. Lord, we just thank You for tonight. We thank You for the opportunity to gather together. I thank You for those that were able to come out tonight. I pray for those that are gone this week, that are traveling. I pray they would have a blessed and refreshing time. And just give them safe travels, Father. Lord, I pray that we would just be amazingly fruitful in our lives. God, let us come in and impact and change culture. Let us influence everything around us, Father, in all these different realms that You've placed us into. Be with every person in here. I pray You would cut on us so that we produce more fruit, Father. And, Lord, we just thank You and we exalt You. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen and amen. If you want to come down, come on down. If you'll catch some worship music real low.